bless you. Thank you for your faithful, generous participation in the offering. It's good to see you here this morning. We used to high-five each other in different times. Ons het mekaar ernstig en vriendelik gegroet. Nou kan jy net vir jou maatjie, jou medebroer en suster sê, hallo, smile and wave, boys, smile and wave. Halleluja, baie welkom hierso. En ieder en elkeen van julle, hierdie gebouw langsaan, en our online social media platforms. Great to have you here. We're going to continue with our series on spirit, soul and body. If you've not been following that, I encourage you to do so. Spent several weeks speaking about the body. Last week we started looking at the soul, and we're going to continue to do that this week. I'm going to read our opening foundation scripture, pray, and then get into the Word of God and have fellowship with the Lord this morning. Does that sound good? Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, that's the prayer of our hearts, that we would allow you to sanctify us, set us apart, so that body, soul, and spirit is presented to you blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, Lord God, that we can be accurate representatives of Jesus on this earth until such time that you come. Also, so that we can be faithful ambassadors of the kingdom of God. That we can prosper in all things according to your word, in spirit, soul, and body. As you have been a blessing to us, may we be a blessing to you and then a blessing to others. Father, we pray that through the series, it would not only help us to live lives of abundance, but that we can be a blessing to a dying world that so desperately needs real hope, real love, real grace, and real truth. We thank you, Spirit of God, that as we look at your word and meditate on Jesus, that you change our hearts this morning. That it's not just a series we go through to tick off a box, but that our lives can be changed and transformed and bear the fruit of your Spirit in our lives. Thank you, God, that we can make ourselves available to you, Holy Spirit, for you to build your kingdom in our hearts. In Jesus' precious name. And all the people of God said, amen and amen. Last week we discussed that the soul is, I'm testing you this morning, so I'm asking you, julle moet julle gereed maak om my te antwoord. Is dit reg met julle? I want you to speak back to me, because I do far too much talking on a Sunday. Nobody says amen. I bet Colette in the hall next door saying, yes, you speak too much. The soul is the seat of the what? The seat of our emotions, appetites, desires, passions. There we go. So the soul is the seat of our appetites, desires, emotions, and passions. For the sake of the series, the soul is not the part that gets born again. That's your spirit. Your spirit gets born again. So the soul is the seat of our appetites, desires, emotions, and passions. And last week, we started touching on those different aspects, our appetites, our desires, and we stopped at emotions. So we're going to visit emotions again this morning. We started off last week by speaking about the emotion of anger. Remember we said that we often say, so and so, het my kwaad gemaak. Jy maak my so kwaad. But the truth is, nobody can make you cross. You choose to get the nar in. You get the thunder in. Direct translation with people. Jy maak die keuse with your will. You choose to get angry. And we looked at, why did God give us the emotion of anger? And we looked at the question of, is it sinful to get angry? Yes and no, we looked at that. So we're going to elaborate and unpack this thing a little bit more this morning. So how many of you are ready to get angry this morning? Show me your angry face. Some of you, well, people in other churches, you only have an angry face. I've yet to see you smile, hallelujah. But that's people in other churches, nobody in this church. Why did God give us the emotion of anger? I submit to you that God gave us the emotion of anger so that we can learn to hate sin. Some of you are listening, praise God. He gave us anger so we can learn to hate evil. And bang wees, as ek het so kan stel, vir die gevolge, or die consequences, but so that we can learn to hate evil, and hate sin. Fly through some scriptures quickly. Psalm 97 and verse 10. You who love the Lord, hate evil. It's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's a command. How many of you love the Lord this morning? That's cool. The Bible says, hate evil. Hate evil. And here's the catch. When it comes to trying to live a godly life in a godless, not a godless world, but a world that's hell-bent on self-destruction, people perceive the truth as hate when you hate the truth. You speak the truth, they think it's hate speech. They call it hate speech. It's not hate speech. Truth is perceived as hate when you hate the truth. There's a difference. And the key is to live and to love like Jesus, we have to learn to love the person, but hate the sin. Don't hate the person. Daar's 'n groot verskil. Maak dit sin, Freddy? Daar's 'n verskil tussen hating the person and hating the sin. Love the person, but hate the sin. And address the sin in love. So Scripture teaches us to hate evil. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Amos 5 and verse 15. Hate evil and love what is good. Are you getting the idea, people? Hate evil, hate evil. And in this passage, this verse is about Jesus. How God anointed Jesus for certain reasons. Hebrews 1 and verse 9, it's about Jesus. You love justice and hate evil. Speaking of Jesus. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else, because Jesus hated evil. So, when it comes to our emotions, and God in His infinite wisdom has wired ladies together very differently to men. Ladies are, in essence, generally more emotional beings than men. Man's first task and his interaction with anything was a job. God made him. Two of them, everything was fine. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And he tasked Adam, name the animals, name the plants, look after the garden. Everything was great. And he couldn't put the woman there because they'd still be discussing today which names to give to the animals. So God had to give this task to Adam alone. Just get the job done, dude. Cool. And then he saw it's not good for man to be alone. And Eve comes along. Hallelujah. Thank God for my woman. And Eve comes along as a helper because God knew Adam needed help. God knows, ek het hulp nodig, julle. Ek het hulp nodig. So Eve's first interaction with anything was on a relational level. Can you see the difference? Men, task-orientated. Probleem, kry oplossing, job gedoen. Vroumense. Manne, ons het wysheid nodig, hoor. He said, dwell with your wives with understanding, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So, how do we bring our emotions into submission to the Lord Jesus? How do we take control and exercise our emotions? Because anger is just one of them we looked at, and we looked at several others last week. How do we bring our emotions into submission to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because, mensa, we mustn't be driven by emotions. Dis gevaarlik, julle. We mustn't be driven by emotions, we must be led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says in the book of Romans that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these, I'm going to make it politically correct, these are the people of God. To be led by emotions is wrong. To be led by the Spirit. So who doen ons dit? The most effective way to bring your emotions into submission to the Lord Jesus Christ is through praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. The most effective way to bring your emotions into submission to the Lord Jesus Christ is through praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Now, some of you are thinking, dit beteken ons moet na die diep end luister. Yes, you must. But thanksgiving and praise and worship must be a lifestyle, not something that you do for a few minutes on a Sunday when there's a band or a worship team. Sorry, Louis, you're a team. It's not a band, nee. That's not something you just do on Sunday. Praise, worship, and thanksgiving must be a lifestyle. We must live in such a way that our life is a song of praise. Now, mensen, dit klink so poetisch. It sounds so poetic. Let your life be a song of praise, hallelujah. Maar in praktijk, rij net 7 minuten om, gee 8 minuten in die verkeer, hier vanaf Joburg toe. Beland dan daar so by Reading Interchange, of Galulis Interchange, in die verkeer daar so. Dan kyk ons weer, waar staan ons emoties dan nie. Or, when somebody does something to you in the traffic, and you give them names that their mother and father never intended them to have. Jy spreek goeders uit oor hulle. What do we do with our emotions then? Ladies and gentlemen, the most effective way to bring our emotions into submission to the Lord Jesus is through praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. That's how we do it. Now, just quickly, a little bit of teaching. There are over 50 chapters in the Bible dedicated to the building of the tabernacle of Moses. And just a handful about all the moral law, all the spiritual law, 10 commandments. 50 to the tabernacle, and so few for the other important things. Why is that? Significant things. The tabernacle is a representation of like the way heaven operates and God does things. And in the tabernacle, you look at how it was built and the instructions given to Moses. There's an outer court and an inner court, and there's a holy place and the most holy place. And inside the holy place, several things we see there. I want this picture to come up. The tribes were told to pitch their tents around the tabernacle in such a way that it forms the shape of a cross. Wie van julle het dit geweet? Coincidence? No, God knows what he's doing. The tabernacle in the middle and God's people around the tabernacle formed the shape of a cross. And in the holy place, in the tabernacle, there were 7 elements. 7 important things. We're just going to go through them quickly. There was a brazen altar, the bronze laver, table of showbread, an incense altar. Everybody say incense altar. That's what we're going to look at this morning. There was a golden lampstand, and there was the veil and the ark of the covenant. Now, the incense altar was inside the holy place. So, there's the Holy of Holies and the holy place. The holy place had the table of showbread, the golden lampstand, and the incense altar. All right? On the incense altar, it had a horn on each corner. And each corner of the incense altar had this horn, and the level of the horns, or the height of the horns, met ander woorde, die hoogste punt van die wierook altaar, was at the same level as the mercy seat inside the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat that's in the Ark of the Covenant. And you kijk me so, well, so what? Well, here's the deal. What's the significance of incense? Incense is symbolic of the prayers and the sacrifice of praise and worship and thanksgiving offered up to God all the time. The incense altar would burn. And how many of you have heard of aromatherapy? 2 of you. Okay, for the rest van julle, aromatherapy is when you smell certain things and it changes your mood. Dit doen. Soos byvoorbeeld, jy is lekker honger. Dan ruik jy jou bierman se vleisie wat hy besig is om. Dit verander sommer jou by. Your mouth starts watering and that changes your mood. And then you have some mood food. You have some mood food. You have some meat to put you in a better mood. So incense does that. Incense changes the mood and changes the atmosphere. Psalm 141 and verse 2. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you, and my upraised hands as an evening offering. Revelation 5 and verse 8. And when he took the scroll, the 4 living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Picture how beautiful that is. There's a bowl of incense in the throne room of God, and it's the prayers and the thanksgiving and the worship of God. I wonder what that does to God's emotions. So, that's the significance of that incense altar being the same height as the mercy seat. Because that then enables us to practice the following verse. Psalm 100 and verse 4 says this: enter his gates with thanksgiving, and go into his courts with praise. Wie van julle smag en verlang na God se teenwoordigheid? I do. So it says there, enter into his gates with moaning, groaning, complaining, bickering, backbiting, skinnering. That's how you enter God's gates. No. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Het ons geldige redes om oor te kla en te moan en te brom? Het ons? Ja, ons het. Kom ons wees eerlik met mekaar. Daar's geldige redes om te brom. But there's more reasons to praise. So let's enter into his gates with praise and let God sort the mess out. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You've got every reason, and it lasts so long, om oor kwaad te wees. But just give God a chance. Just give God a chance. Just enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise and watch God move, ladies and gentlemen. That's how we can bring our emotions. When you want to moan and groan and complain, and when your emotions are just having the best of you, just give God thanks for something. Praise him for something. Ask him to remind you of how good he has been. That's the key to bringing our emotions into check and being submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So we've looked at our appetites, our desires, our emotions, and we're going to finish the topic of the soul with our passions. Van julle last week het opgewonde geraak oor die passie gedeelte. We're going to speak about passion. So what about our passions? So this week in the care group, who out is CJ? 12. In our care group meeting this week, I visited one of the care groups. It was so good visiting the care groups again. Hallelujah. 12-year-old youngster asks the question. There's a room full of adults, a teenager, and a 12-year-old. And the 12-year-old asks, Oom, what is passion? How do you answer the 12-year-old? Well, let's see. Kom ons check of ek hierdie ding kan werk. Ja. Of jy dit kan sien of nie, daar's 'n vlam daarso. Ja, is daar. Is nog hierna. Hoe? Waar is hy? Kan jy die vlam sien? Faith is the absence of things not seen and the evidence of things to come. So daar's 'n vlammetjie daarso. And that's the description that I'd like to use to describe passion this morning. What is passion? I want to describe God this morning. I remember years ago when I discovered this about God, I memorized these scriptures and I made notes in my Bible. I know them back to front in several translations. Describes God. So when it comes to passion, I want us to focus our attention not on the physical side of passion. And how many of you know that's good? Nicolien, jy stem saam met my. Mag jy die res van ons help, hè? Hallelujah. God has given us passion. Because that's who he is. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 24 says, the Lord your God is a devouring fire. How many of you have thought of God like that? A devouring fire. He's a jealous God. I see a God of passion, burning, all-consuming passion. Deuteronomy 9 and verse 3 says, but recognize today that the Lord your God is the one who will cross over ahead of you like a devouring fire to destroy them. I don't know if you have lately seen the fires that have ravaged various countries, California and Australia a couple of years ago, all sorts of fires. The temperatures get up to 700, 800 degrees Celsius in the midst of these fires. It consumes everything in its path. It eats everything up. That's the best description I can think of for passion. God will go ahead of you like a devouring fire to consume your enemies for you. And then Hebrews 12, verse 29, For our God is a devouring fire. That's the description I'd like to give of passion. This God, it consumes everything else. It's only interested in one thing, that flame stays alight and burning. Dis daarso, julle. Ek dink ek moet hierdie skuif because apparently this is going to get hot. Ah, daar sê, moes hom lankal oopgemaak het. Nee, maar dan gaan hierdie tafel brand. Hoorie julle, hier's vlamme hierbo. Kan julle dit sien? There's flames there. A consuming fire. That's passion. Something inside you. Niemand hoef na jou toe te kom om jou te herinner om opgewonde te raak oor iets. It consumes you. You don't have to have a wekker in die morning en die oggend wat 'n geluid maak om jou te herinner. Hoorie, dink bietjie aan daai ding. You go to sleep thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. You plan your day around it. You plan your finances around it. You gear your life around this thing that consumes you. And you know what, folks? That's God. God is a consuming fire for you. The scripture says he is mindful of you. He's thinking about you all the time. And the next thing he's thinking about is the lost. Die wat hom nog nie ken nie. That's God. That's passion. And that's the aspect of our soul that we're going to finish off with, is our passions. So if we're trying to live like Jesus and be like Jesus, what was Jesus passionate about? What was Jesus passionate about? And what should our passions be based on? Well, Psalm 69 and verse 9. It's the psalmist David writing about things that he's going through. And he says this, Psalm 69 and verse 9. And it is a reference to Jesus, we'll see later. Passion for your house has consumed me. That's David speaking about what happens in a temple of God consumes me. David was passionate about the things of God. It consumed him. He says, zeal for your house has consumed me. Remember, he goes to war and he kicks the enemy's butt and they recover the Ark of the Covenant and David lets rip in a dance that the world had never seen. And his wife, Michal, sy het 'n gly gevang. Sy dog vir haarself, hoe durf jy so aangaan soos 'n mal ding? Jy's mos 'n koning. Hoe kan jy jou so gedra? Die mense sien dan jou onderklere, man. Ruk jou reg. David could say that he couldn't care who said or who thought what. He was consumed by a passion for God's house and God and the things of God. En hy was min gespin oor wat die mense gesê het, whether he was doing the waltz properly or not. And whether he was dressed for the occasion. And his wife, Michal, judgmental in art, criticism. She took out her spiritometer. Her spiritometer and tried to measure, hoe geestelik is hierdie man dan nou van my? How many times do we see that in the body of Christ? We see people doing things and we wonder, how spiritual is this or isn't? Instead of seeing the heart of the person. And she judges David from the window. She looks down at him. And from that moment she judged him, she was never able to bear children again. I submit to you, criticizing other people's spirituality might render you fruitless of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. I'm just saying. It says he was consumed with zeal for God's house. And then King Jesus comes. And he checks the Pharisees, the Kudensees, the Sadducees, and the Woodensees, and all the other godsdienstige religious freaks of the day, doing their thing in the temple. And they turned the temple, I'm going to close this because this is going to get hotter and hotter, and I'm going to be in trouble. I've got fire insurance here. You get the picture, ne? The flame, hallelujah. He comes there, and they turned the temple into a place of buying and selling and anything other than what it was supposed to be, a place where the glory of God dwells, a place where people can meditate on the Word of God and think about the things of God. And it's not wrong to buy and sell merchandise in a church building. Some people incorrectly teach that Daarom mag jy nie CDs en boeke verkoop van 'n kerk of nie. That's religion. That's exactly what the Sadducees, Pharisees, Couldn'tsees and Wouldn'tsees would probably say. The thing that got to Jesus was that's supposed to be a house of prayer and they turned it into a den of thieves. And Jesus comes and we see that, you can study it in your own time, John 2, verse 3 to 17. John 2, verse 3 to 17. Jesus, hy staan daar so. Terwyl these people are gunning on, they turned the house of prayer into a den of thieves, the house of God, and Jesus, hy vleg vir hom 'n sweep. He weaved and he plaited a whip, and then he let rip. He drove them out of the temple with a whip, turning the tables over. En sommige van ons, is there some table that I can kick over here? I'm already checking the budget people are thinking, Mozzie, jy skop niks in hierdie gebou nie. Amen. We think of these like little tables that just kick over. No. I can tell you now, Jesus, a carpenter's son, he was a man's man. He worked with his hands, a physical graft. Huge, thick, heavy tables. You take those tables, with the righteous indignation of God. And he vented his anger against these people and den of thieves. Turned the tables over. You can imagine all the money collectors, all their change, goeder just skop hier en daar, and I sweep, get out, get out. You turn that, my dad's house, supposed to be a house of prayer, into a den of thieves. Jesus was passionate about God's house and the things that happens in God's house. Dis wonderlik, Mozzie, dankie vir daai teaching. Hoe is dit van toepassing op ons vandag in 2021? So now I'm going to start landing this thing. We've spoken about our appetites, desires, emotions, and passions. What should our passions be based on? What was Jesus passionate about? So the question is, now I apply it to my life. Am I as passionate about God's house as Jesus was, as David was? Am I as passionate about the things that happens in God's house as David was and as Jesus is? Jy moet nou asseblief nie blind staar aan hierdie fisiese gebou. Because this can be and is a place where God's glory dwells. But how's about this thought? If I say to you, the place where God's glory dwells, you might think of a temple or a tabernacle or a building, right? What if I submit to you that you and I should be the place where God's glory dwells? This is the thought I'm going to share with the deep end when we get together and have our meeting. How's about you being the place where God's glory dwells? The scripture speaks about, I'll enter into the secret place of the Most High God. The sacrifice to get there is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Dis die sleutel om na in te kom. Where's that place? Could it be a man, a woman, a child of God who worships God in spirit and in truth? The place where God's glory dwells, but also His mercy. I don't know about you, but when I think about the glory of God, I imagine splendor and beauty that I can't describe. I imagine something so beautiful that makes me feel unworthy. I can't be there. Because His glory is so wonderful. That's what I think of when I think of the glory of God. But the place where His glory dwells, there's also mercy there. There's also mercy so that a sinner like me can be there. There's also grace so that a sinner like me can be there. There's also forgiveness so that a sinner like me can be there. Are we passionate about the place where God's glory dwells? Are we passionate about the house of God and the things of God's people? Like David is, but David is very much alive. Like David is and like Jesus is. Are we passionate? Are you passionate about what happens here on a Sunday? Of bly jy maar weg omdat jy ander belangrike dinge het om te doen? Are you passionate about what happens in the weekly care groups where the people of God get together and do life? Of bly jy weg want jy's te besig of jy's min gespin, jy stel glad nie belang nie. I'm talking to you. Yes, you. That's watching wherever you are. Are you passionate about what happens when God's people get together? Are you passionate about die samesyn van die gelowiges? Or are you indifferent en onverskillig? Are you passionate about what happens in your life so that your soul, the seat of your appetites, desires, emotions and passions, can be so led and ruled and nurtured and taught and mentored by the Spirit of God that your life can be a place where God's glory and grace dwells. Where people can see that you're a man or a woman of God. Maar jy's nie daar nie en hulle hier nie. Maar andersom, there's grace in your life that you can extend to others because you've received the grace of Jesus. That's what this is about, ladies and gentlemen. The soul, the seat of your appetites, desires, emotions, and passions. Isn't it time we get passionate about things like this? Now, who doen ons dit? I'm a how-to kind of guy, and I can get emotional about this, and I make no apologies for that. How do we get passionate about these things? Last week, we spoke about that verse from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9, where the Bible teaches us how to take care of our soul. If we apply those two verses, verse 8 and verse 9 of Philippians 4, to our lives, our soul will prosper. So our appetites, desires, emotions, and passions will prosper for God and will glorify God in all that we do. So to recap what we touched on last week, Philippians 4 verse 8 to 9 says the following. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. So prakties gesproke, hoe pas ons dit dan toe? How do we do this? And we said we do that by looking at Jesus. Looking at Jesus. Hebrews 12 verse 1 and 2, and we're going to close off meditating on that. But Paul gives some five key points here. In verse 9, he says, practice, learned, there's a spelling error in the notes, care group leaders, take note of it, I'll rectify that for you. I've seen that there's a spelling photo. there's a typo. So, practice, learn, received, heard, and saw. Why is that significant? Because to practice, you've got to do something. Dit help, dit gaan niemand help nie as ons hiernatoe kom, vir my luister vir 30 minute of somtijds bietjie langer, en dan jy doen niks daaromtrent nie. Now without looking, especially to the people that have been in this church the longest, without looking to your right, what is the sign above the roller shutter door on your way out? Two people know it. Hoeveel sondae was julle al hierso? Jy's verskoon, my broer. Dit is net sy tweede dag hierso. We forgive him. Maar die rest van julle? Two people know the sign above the door. It says, be the change you want to see. You want change in the world? Well, go out and be the change. Nobody's getting excited about that. That's put into practice what you hear here. Number two, he says, learn what you've learned from me. To learn something, you have to be teachable. A humble man will learn from a child, and John 3:16, oor en oor en oor en oor. Some people, you just cannot teach them anything. They know more than God. When God needs help, they phone this person. Some people, you can teach them jack, nada, zilch. You need to remain teachable. Number three, received. When you receive something, I'm going to give you an example. My bro, here's a lighter for you. You can have it. There. Kryf jy. When did that lighter become his? When he got up of his blessed assurance and received it. Oh, COVID, bless you. I cancel COVID in Jesus' name. When did it become his? When he got up and took it Until such time, it was just an unaccepted gift. You need to receive and make it your own and apply it to your life what you get from the Lord. Number four, heard. He says, what you've heard from me, we must hear and we must listen. The scripture says in Romans 10 verse 13, I believe, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. It's not just hearing. You also got to put it into practice. Because as mense wat week in en week uit, hulle hoor en hulle hoor en hulle hoor en hulle kyk YouTube video na YouTube video na YouTube video en die geloof groei nog steeds nie in hulle lewens nie. Why? They're not doing the word. They're only hearing. They're not doing the word. Okay, so you need to hear and listen. This means we must apply what we hear. And number five, Saul. Paul says this, and we challenged each other with this thought last week. Paul says, just do what you see me do. And I said this as a pastor, don't do what I say, do what I do. Do what I do. Follow me as I follow Jesus. And the moment I stop following Jesus, don't follow me. Follow somebody who is following Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, and there's several verses like that. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So those are the keys. And in verse 8 of Philippians 4, it gives die omskryfwoorde, né? Adjectives. Omskrywings, what's an adjective in Afrikaans? So, wat's the ding? Come on, help me Afrikaans spreken. An adjective. It describes something. Those things describe Jesus. So how do we do this? We look at Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. And I'm done preaching. Deep End can come up, please. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. And we said it last week, we're going to repeat it this week. Jesus is the one that's described in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 9. He's the one who is true, who is honorable, who is right, who is pure, who is lovely, who is admirable, who is excellent, and who is worthy of praise. I want to close off by giving us an opportunity to pray this morning. If you realize that your emotions have oftentimes got the better of you, and you want to bring them into submission to the Lord Jesus, and maybe the passion that consumes you is for other things, what are the things that come in and steal the word of God in our lives? In the Gospel of Mark and the parable of the sower, Jesus teaches that it's the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things comes in and chokes the life of the word of God right out of us. Perhaps you're at such a place in your life and you want the passion to be burning inside you like that flame, a passion to have zeal for the house of God and the things of God and the things that happen when God's people get together. And I simply took a lighter this morning. It's my lighter. I carry a lighter with me because I'm on fire for the Messiah. Dikwels kom jy by 'n plek waar mense 'n lighter nodig het vir hulle sigarette. And I take out one and offer to light their cigarette. And I use that as an opener to say, may I tell you about the light of the world as they're lighting up their guai. Ja, vertel my bietjie. And I share Jesus with. That's why I carry a lighter. I don't have a skellum habit. And I took a lighter and I lit that simply like this. But I can't light the flame of passion in your heart that's worthwhile. Only Jesus can. Only the Holy Spirit can. So my prayer this morning, if you're watching online, if you'd like the Spirit of God to light a passion inside your heart that you can be consumed with the things of God again, then we'd love to pray with you this morning. And the folks next door and in this building, you know where you are at in your life. You know of thy flammekie net, maybe it's gone out a long time ago, it's just ashes, you know. So I'd ask you to do business with God right there where you sit. I want you to pray. If you need God to just ignite something inside of you again, a passion for his house and the things of God and his people, and the things that gets God excited, you want to be excited about those things again, ask the Spirit of God in Jesus' name to ignite that flame inside of you. Father, as we seek your face this morning together as your people, if we think of the concept of a fire asks no questions, it doesn't make excuses, it just burns and burns and burns as long as what it is fueled. It gets fuel, it will burn. And as long as it has something to burn, it will burn. So Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, O Holy Spirit, would you come and ignite the flames of our first love which burned with holy fear? And if it's never burnt before, Lord God, would you light it in people's lives this morning in the name of Jesus as we pray and seek your face together, Lord. You are a consuming fire, Lord. Would you consume us, Lord God, with your passion? May we be completely consumed with the things that consume you, Lord, that take up your mind and fill the space in your mind and in your thoughts. Would you fill our mind and our thoughts with those things, Lord, in the name of Jesus? And Father, this morning we declare the lordship of Jesus Christ over our emotions, over our appetites, over our desires, and over our passions. We want to say, Jesus Christ, be Lord of all in our lives in the name of Jesus. We want to be a people, Lord God, that are humbly following hard after Jesus, that we're not driven by agendas or programs or being driven because people are telling us to do or because a preacher says something, but that we're led by your Spirit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, would you lead us into all truth? I pray for every man, woman, and child that watches and that listens, Lord, that you would speak into their heart, that you would give them specific direction and clarity as to how to apply this to their lives for where they are at, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, may we glow like this and grow like this to be a consuming fire that burns up the things of the world and the things that are distracting us from walking with you and living closely to you. Lord, may we choose to lay aside the weights that are holding us down, Lord. We saw in your word that you speak about the sin that ensnares us and the weights that trip us up. Lord, may we know what it means to lay those things down so that we can become the men and women of God that you've called us to be. And this is our prayer, Lord, for every person that shares this prayer this morning in faith. To the praise and glory of your name, we say, according to your faith, be it as unto you. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. And amen. Let's worship the Lord together as the deep end leads us in a song one more time, and we'll pray God's blessing over us all, and we'll part and leave to go be a difference out there, and that we can be the difference and the change we want to see. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord together, guys.